I will sing forever of your love coming down. With my hands to heaven, shout its praises loud. Out my lost in darkness, if you pull me up. I will sing forever of your love come down, down. And whoa. Was blind, I could not see. The chains of sin had shackled me. But God in heaven heard my plea. That Jesus, Jesus rescued me. Jesus, Jesus rescued me.
Come on, shout.
I will sing forever.
Of your love come down. Hands to heaven. Praise is thine.
When you pull me out, I will sing forever of your love come. And whoa, 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 whoa. Now grace so sweet, it floods my soul. And hope eternal won't let go. A Calvary. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. I will sing forever of your love come down. With my hands to heaven.
Hands to heaven, praise his name.
Hey, lost in darkness when you pull me out. I will sing forever of your love come down. And whoa. Well, there's a home beyond the sky. A song we'll sing for all of time. The grave is empty. I am free. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me. Jesus, Jesus, rescue me.
Come on, shout.
I will sing forever of your love come down. And with my hands to heaven, shout his praise. Lost in darkness, but you pull me out. I will sing forever of your love come. And I will sing forever of your love come. With my hands to heaven, shout his praises. And I'm lost in darkness, but you pull me out. I will sing forever of your love come. And I will sing forever of your love come.
How many of you are ready to live in something better in 2019? Come on, I'm ready for something miraculous to take place, and you serve a miraculous God. Oh, hallelujah.
Through the fire, through the flame, through every trial, your love will never fade. Hallelujah. Faithful still, even when I'm feeling overwhelmed.
There is hope.
'Cause there is hope beyond the things I see. Even in the dirt, I know I must believe. Give me faith to see the incredible. To wait on a miracle.
Give me strength.
Give me strength to reach for the further star. To lift every broken heart. To love from these levied skies. Through the flood. Through the flood. Through everything. covered by your blood. You are here, and I'm amazed. My hopes, and fears are met with endless grace.
'Cause there is peace.
'Cause there is peace that only you can bring.
That's right.
Even in my mess, you hold the victory. Give me faith to see the incredible, to live in the wonderful, to wait on the miracle.
Give me strength.
Give me strength to reach for the furthest star, to lift every broken heart, to love from these many stars.
Yeah. Oh, come on, let's praise the Lord in this place. We know He's got great things in store. For everybody today, Lord,
we're gonna see all the walls come down. We're gonna see the lost in us be found, and believe that every area is answered. We're gonna see heaven here on earth. We're gonna see life rising from the dirt, and believe there's power in your name. Give me faith to see the incredible, to live in the wonderful,
to wait on the miracle.
Oh, yeah. Give me strength to reach for the furthest star, to lift
every broken heart.
Come down, we're gonna see the lost in us be found, and believe that every prayer's our answer. We're gonna see heaven here on earth. We're gonna see life rising from the dirt, and believe there's power in your name.
Come on,
we're gonna see. The lost in us be found, and believe for every prayer is answered. We're gonna see heaven here on earth. We're gonna see life rising from the dead.
Thank Him for the incredible things. Let's thank Him for the incredible things, and the incredible things we need Him to do still. Hallelujah.
Praise You, Jesus. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of His Spirit, washed in His blood. Oh, perfect submission, all is at rest. I am my Savior's, I am my Savior, am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with His goodness, lost in His This is my story. This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story.
Oh, my story.
This is my song. Praising my Savior all the day long.
Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for this story we have today. If you've got a story, I want you to just proclaim it right now. Proclaim your praise to your God. He's changed you. He's saved you. He's healed you. He's done something. He's protected you. He's comforted you. Come on, be a testimony today. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a mighty God. Oh, what a mighty God. Hey. Oh, what a Savior. Wonderful Jesus. Oh, what a Savior. Wonderful Jesus. So simple, just proclaim it. Oh, what a Savior. Oh, what a Savior.
Wonderful,
wonderful Jesus.
Oh, what a Savior.
Wonderful Jesus.
We lift you up, oh God. Oh, what a Savior.
Wonderful.
He's still wonderful today. He's still good. He's still faithful. He's still mighty and you've brought me through. And now I'm ready for whatever you wanna do. I'm moving forward to follow after you. And now I'm ready for whatever you wanted. Is that your prayer today? Hey!
Your presence is an open door. Come to Lord like never before. Your presence is an open door.
So come now, Lord.
Come now, Lord. Like never before.
Grace is in.
Grace has been enough. And I'm believing.
The best is yet to come.
The best is yet to come.
The cross before me, my hope on things above. And in you, Jesus, the best is yet to come. Your presence is an open door. Like never before.
Your presence
is an open door.
It's an open door.
So come now, Lord, like never before. Put
our hands together this morning. Oh, yes. Like this, say.
I know a breakthrough is coming. By faith, I see a miracle. My God has made me a promise and it won't stop now. I know a breakthrough is coming. By faith, I see a miracle.
Let's just tell them
that your presence is an open door. So come now, Lord, like never before.
Amen. God, I speak this morning about the moving of the Holy Spirit. You know what's so wonderful about God? When the Holy Spirit comes in a room, somebody here could need comfort, and they get it. And over here, they need healing. And when the moving of the Holy Spirit comes, they receive it. There's something about the moving of the Holy Spirit. It changes everything in a room. It changes everything in a room. So I don't know what your need is today, but I know that the moving of the Holy Spirit is here. So whatever you need today, I just wanted to come and tell you that the God of all promises, the God of healing, the God of comfort, the God of joy, the God of peace, the God of hope. What do you need? He can do it. So let's just raise our hands today and welcome the moving of the Holy Spirit in this place. Hallelujah. The moving of the Holy Spirit. I pray to the right, to the left, to the balcony, from the front row, whatever is coming today with the need that they'll leave different. You know, there's something about a church family. Amen? We have a few in-house needs today. You know, when you call the family together and you have a meeting? No? Well, you will. My husband hates that. Okay, we need to talk. So we need to talk today, because there's a few needs that we have that we want you to pray about. We've been praying this week for the Arnold family. They lost their grandson. And I just want the God of comfort to help them this week. How many have felt the God of comfort before? I want to pray for Tim and Tracy. Tim lost his brother yesterday. We're going to pray for the God of comfort. You know, this would be a lot different, but 2 months ago, Tim's brother asked God to come into his heart. So I was thinking yesterday, it's awesome, his last breath here, Tim, as he took that last breath as you were in that room, I just know the next breath he was on streets of gold. No more pain, no more sickness. The last breath here, the first breath there. I just know it. I've experienced it. I have sat in the room where I know that I've seen the last, but I have not seen what's just started, and that's the first. We're going to pray for Lloyd today. I actually would like a few people in the balcony just to go over and lay their hands on Lloyd today. And just ask God to touch his body today. That's what a church family is for. Amen. We're going to continue to pray for Lois. She's gaining strength, and we're so thankful. So maybe a couple people would go around Tim, and we're just going to pray today. Can we? You know, the Bible says the church is a house of prayer. So we're going to pray today. Maybe you would put your hand on somebody and ask God to touch them today. I know that's stretching for some of you, but that's what family does. That's what family does. And let's just pray together. I want to hear you pray with me today. God, we're so thankful that you are in this house today. I want to just recognize, and I am so thankful that you are here with us at Charleston Church today. I pray for Lloyd. I pray for a healing in that body. In the name of Jesus, a healing. I pray for the Perry family that they'll actually feel today at 10:53, that they'll feel the comfort come in that room. Holy Spirit, you say that you're our comforter, and I pray that they can sense it today. We pray for Tim. We pray for his whole family, his nieces and nephews that lost a dad. I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, the comforter. Lord, the comforter. Lord, you're our healer, but you're our comforter, and we thank you that they're going to leave different today. I thank you, Lord, that you're going to touch every need in this house. Whatever they came with, they don't have to leave the same today. I pray in the name of Jesus that you bless this house today. You bless this house today. You save somebody today. We pray for that baby that they asked us to pray for that's in the hospital. I pray, Lord, life in that baby's body. I pray that you go in that hospital room and you bring life to that baby. In the name of Jesus, we are so thankful. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Just like you to tell about two people, it's good to see you today. Everybody sit down except Tim. We have a special guest in the house today. Somebody that we've been praying for. Lindsay, you can stand up with your man. You look so much better today. Yes. Tim, how long have you been gone in the military? Let me just say, you know, he's been just gone to the military. So how long have you been gone? 8 months. And you got to meet beautiful, handsome, gorgeous Luke when you came home. It's good to have you home. We've prayed for you. And it's good to have you here. I believe God is going to do more this year in your life. I believe that he's going to give you visions and dreams, and you're going to do more than you ever thought. Not just in the military, but you're going to have ideas for ministry, and the Lord's going to give them to you, and you're going to do them, and you're going to be blessed. Welcome home. We love you. If you're a guest in this house today, we are glad you're here. I'm not going to make you stand up and do that. He's part of our family. So we're glad that you are here. Charleston Church, will you let our guests know that we're glad you're here? If you brought a guest today, if you would make sure that they fill out a contact card, it's in the seat ahead of them. If you'll give that to them, make them fill that out and put it in the offering. Everybody needs a church, amen? A good church, a spirit-filled church, amen? So we're glad you're here, and I just am thankful. And it's good to be in Charleston Church, amen? Amen. We have a couple things coming up if the ushers want to get ready. We have an unspoken concert coming January 19th. That will be this Saturday. And they are a great, great band. Oh, they're from Maine. You what? The lead singer is from Maine. Which one is that, Paul? I don't know, but somebody's from Maine, and we're, that's awesome, that's awesome. So we're going to be here Saturday night. If you want to come, get tickets at the office or Lighthouse Events, and this place will be full. People love concerts, I'm telling you. So come, and then we're just going to have a great night. And then tonight, I want you to say tonight. Tonight is going to be a wonderful service. It's at 5 o'clock. If you don't usually come, I just tell you, come tonight. We're going to have communion, and then pastor's going to preach, but we're also having a special declaring service. We're going to declare some of God's promises in the house tonight. So you don't want to miss it. It's the end of our fast night, and I'm telling you, it's going to be good. It's going to be good. Amen? I'll see you tonight at 5. How many heard me? Oh, I'll see you all tonight, 5 o'clock. It's good to see you. We're having our offering, which is such a wonderful part of our service. It's a special part of our service. As you know, we've been on a fast this week and just believing for different things in our life. And I'm sure that you have written them out and just asking God for different things. Amen? And I got a testimony on Thursday. A couple in this church had been praying and fasting and writing that down, that God would do a financial miracle in their home. They actually said a breakthrough in their finances. They both are wonderful people. They work. They're faithful to this church. They're faithful in their jobs. But they wanted the Lord to do a financial breakthrough. How many know that having your finances led by God is important? And they've been praying about that. And he got a call this week and into the office, and he got a raise this week. So I'm just so thankful. I am so thankful. And maybe you've been praying about something and you haven't seen it yet. I want you to say yet. But I'm believing for it. I know that God has heard every prayer that you have prayed. And let's just ask the Lord as we give our tithes and our offering. I just have asked God for us personally that 2019 will be our best giving year ever. That we would give more than we've ever given. Amen? Amen. Let's just ask the Lord to just be with this time of the service. God, we're thankful that we're able to give our tithes and our offering. We are so thankful that we can come into this house today, and we know that all week you're going to be doing things in our community, in different ministries. We thank you that we're an avenue that we can get out and do more for you. I ask you, Lord, that testimony that family received this week, I pray for even other people in this church to receive that. I ask you, Lord, your blessings on their finances, and we are thankful for that. In Jesus' name, amen.
Worthy is the Lamb that was slain for us. So Would you stand together with me and grab your Bibles? Praise God. God is so good. I believe that He is pleased with the praises of His people. If praise is what glorifies and pleases God, then I want to praise Him. If praise is what glorifies and pleases God, how many of you think you ought to praise Him? It's not the observation of His people. It's not the spectatorship of His people. It's the praises of His people that bring His presence. You kind of need to start your week worshiping God together to get the pump primed, because your worship should begin today, but it shouldn't stop today. We want full-time victory with internship worship. We need to, people who only worship on Sundays are spiritual interns, but I want to be a full-time worshiper of God and Almighty. Amen. Open your Bibles, if you would, to the book of John, chapter 4. Welcome, everybody. Thank you that you're here. We're going to read through here. I've got some scriptures. Everybody's watching online, thank you for joining us. Appreciate it so much. And let us know where you're watching from. John, chapter 4, verse 5. I can't wait to see you tonight. We're going to get some things done. Verse 5. Eventually, Jesus came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the village that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there. Jesus, tired from a long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Please give me a drink." He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food, and nobody went to the well at noontime because it was too hot. But the woman was there. Verse 9. She was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, "You are a Jew, I am a Samaritan. Why are you asking me for a drink?" Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift that God has for you and who you're speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket, and this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? Besides, do you think you're greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer a better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" And Jesus said, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again. But those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." I want some of that water. Verse 15, I have some of that water. I want you to have that water, and you, some of you already do. Verse 15, "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, then I'll never be thirsty again, and I won't have to come here to get water." "Go get your husband," he told her. "I don't have a husband." Awkward silence. Awkward silence. And then Jesus said, after the awkward silence, "You're right. You don't have a husband. You have five husbands. You've had five husbands. And you aren't even married to the man you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth." "Sir," the woman said, "you must be a prophet. So tell me, why is it that you Jews insist that Jerusalem is the only place of worship?" There we go. Instead of dealing with the problem, we're just going to argue about worship now. "While we Samaritans claim it is here at Mount Gerizim where our ancestors worship," Jesus replied, "believe me, dear woman, the time is coming when it will no longer matter whether you worship the Father on this mountain or in Jerusalem. You Samaritans know very little about the one you worship." Bam! "While we Jews know about him, all about him, for salvation comes through the Jews. But the time is coming, indeed it's here now, when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. The Father is looking for those who will worship him that way. For God is spirit, so those who worship him must worship him in spirit and truth." If you're a little bit like confused by this point, don't worry, it's okay. Well, that's why I've got a little time here to talk about it. Verse 25, "The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who's called Christ. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us." Jesus said, "I am the Messiah." Just then his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, "What do you want with her, or why are you talking to her?" The woman left her water jar beside the well, ran back to the village, telling everyone these words, "Come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah?" We're talking about a clean slate, and I want to talk to you about a clean slate of breaking barriers and building boundaries. Jesus, please help me today. Amen. You can be seated. We're talking throughout the last couple weeks and maybe next week on how to get a clean slate. And there is this woman that I just rings out in my mind that gives us this example. And even if you're a man, you can learn something from a woman. Can I get an amen? And see, I already lost 30 people right there. I just getting away. But this woman needs a clean slate. She needs a clean slate desperately because her life is filled with barbed wire. Her life is continually one of pain and restriction. She's always having to re and overthink everything she does because of decisions. She has all of these barriers. She has the barrier of her past. She's going to the well at noon because the well was basically the Dunkin' Donuts of the day, and everybody gathered there. But at noon, it was too hot to draw water, so they would gather at the well to just get the local gossip and talk. And she's avoiding all the people because of her past. How many of you, as a child, thought, I cannot wait to grow up and get rid of all these rules so I can have freedom? When Mariah, our oldest child, who's now an adult, was 12, she was wanting a cat bad. And we'd gone through the cat stage painfully. And we said, you're not having a cat. She was so mad. She said, when I'm 18, I'm moving out and I'm getting a cat. She's moved out. She hasn't had a cat. But here's something I think every one of us know, is that the more freedom you want, the more rules you'll need. And unfortunately, this woman wanted a lot of freedom, but she didn't have any boundaries. And when you don't have boundaries, you end up with barriers. So she has barriers because of her past. And maybe your past isn't similar to hers, but a past is a past. And you may have gotten so used to it that you don't realize that some of your past is still influencing your today. Secondly, she has a barrier not only by her past, she has a barrier by her culture. She is completely identified as a Samaritan and as a family of the Samaritans who were actually hated by the Jews. And so she has been told so long the certain characteristics of our kind of people, of our race, of our gender, of our education, of our family background. And she is convinced that there are certainly some things in her life that will never happen because of her last name. Hello? You can literally be so integrated with your own family story that you don't think that you can have a different story. She has a cultural barrier. I mean, no, not all families are bad. Not everything in our family is good. And who is it here that came from a perfect family? I didn't think so. She has barriers of her past. She has the barriers of her culture. She has the barriers of religion. Boy, you want to really get into a waste of time, argue religion. If you've got time to spare, I've got people you can talk to. But too many people are identifying their faith by their religious affiliation. Man, I'm making everybody, the women mad. I'm making the religious people mad. But that's what I get paid to do. Look at me. We have in this church a broad array of people. We have people, and they say, well, I'm Baptist. Well, I'm Catholic. Well, I'm Nazarene. Well, I'm Pentecostal. Well, I'm Apostolic. Well, I'm Methodist. Well, I'm Wesleyan. I'm going to tell you, when you get to the doorway of heaven, they're not going to ask for your ID card from your denomination. They're going to say, do you know Jesus, the one who built this place? And I need you to hear this today. I need you to hear this today. I don't care what your background is. Every denomination has its weaknesses. Every denomination has its strengths. But I'll tell you what, in Jesus there is no weakness. In Jesus there's only strength. And if my denomination says I can't have something that Jesus offers, I lay down my denominational barriers and I pick up the Bible and I say, if Jesus is Jesus ever, he's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. And don't come in here and say, well, God can do it for them, but I wasn't brought up that way. Any man who's in Christ is a brand new creature. And if God can do it for a Baptist, He can do it for a Methodist. If He can do it for a Pentecostal, He can do it for a Democrat or a Republican. Fear builds barriers. Faith builds boundaries. This woman's life has been totally, totally hemmed in by her own fears. But I want you to see something so incredibly, it's oblivious but yet obvious to me as I read it, that all these barriers hindered her. How many of you admit, how many of you admit there's some barriers in your life, like you'd like to see some things gone, you could live a different life for God? How many of you got some barriers? Yeah, you got some barriers. I need you to watch this, though. Though the barriers kept her held back, the barriers never stopped Jesus from coming into her life. I don't know what your barrier is, but it's not big enough to keep God out. I don't know what your barrier is, but it doesn't turn God off so bad that He's not interested in your life. And whatever the barrier is that you built, don't blame your mother and father. You'll never get out of it if you play the blame game. Stop blaming the other church. Stop blaming other people. And just start saying, this is a barrier I have. But the Bible says that Jesus still met the woman at the well. Jesus still ministered to the woman at the well. And Jesus still changed the life of the woman at the well. I do have a crazy feeling today that some people are going to come in who came in with certain barriers. In one service, are going to have those barriers broken. And it won't be because of anybody on the platform. It'll be because of Jesus who's come into your heart. If you don't have a relationship with Christ, at the end of the service, you'll be given an opportunity to allow Christ to overcome the barrier of sin and separation. He died on the cross so that He could come into your life and not become a landlord. He came to be your Savior and break the barriers. He said, give me a drink. See, He was freeing her for ministry. Ladies and gentlemen, American Christians, North Americans need a revival of freedom. Let's talk about something that's kind of strange. 15% of divorces are the result of husbands who won't quit playing video games. Yeah, you didn't see where that came from, did you? I'm so sick of talking about stuff nobody's dealing with. 15% of all divorces that take place are because the husband refuses to quit playing video games. The average age of video game addicts, how old do you think it is? 45. I'm telling you, Atari had a real stronghold on us. It's tough, man. Atari is tough. The average video game addict plays 5 hours a night. Many men and women are unemployed because they refuse to leave their video game and look for work. One in five millennials literally believe they will die in debt. I'm telling you, we have a culture, because everybody else around us has boundaries, we don't think that our boundaries stand out. But that's why you need to go to church. That's why you need to be around free people. Because if all you do is live around a bunch of other gamers, you don't realize you're a gamer. Your wife knows. We need boundary. I'm not against fun. I'm not against game. I'm not against any. I'm just saying it is a glaring, obvious example of something that should not be affecting people, having effect because they lack one thing: boundaries. A lot of people are living within barriers, and because everybody they're related to or go to church with or works with have the same barrier, you don't realize that thing that you become comfortable with is that thing that is destroying what God wants to do in your life. God, please watch this, is a God of boundaries. You'll not go to heaven and notice the lack of boundaries. God, when he made creation in Genesis 1, created morning and night boundaries. Water and ground, boundaries. Birds of the air, fish of the sea, boundaries. Ten commandments. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Boundaries. He said, if my people will pray, I will do this. Boundaries. Jesus went to church one day and he found out they're having, they were selling off religious favors. And he said, no, the boundary is my house is not a place of business. My house is a place of prayer. My house is not a place of entertainment. My house is a place of ministry. He has boundaries. And in Genesis 1, God spent 50 verses creating boundaries so that he could put humanity in it. And the less boundaries Americans long for, the more chaos we're going to experience. 50 verses in Genesis 1 and 2, God's talking about boundaries. And then God gives the boundaries of humanity. Be fruitful and multiply. Here are your boundaries. Subdue the earth. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over every living creature that moves on the earth. Be fruitful, subdue it, fill it, rule it. In other words, do your job. Here are my boundaries. I'm just telling you right now. My boundaries are always to be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and rule. Anything outside of that is outside of my boundaries. You okay? We want freedom without rules. We want responsibility without regulation. Now I'm going to read a scripture here, and I think it's kind of funny, a little bit controversial, but great timing for what I'm about to read. Okay, but I'll do anything to keep your focus. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 verse 7. There's a king named Asa, and he told the people of Judah, "Let us build towns and fortify them with walls." I found people that are mad are listening. Towers, gates, and bars, not Judy's, like protection. The land is still ours. Come on, say that. The land is still ours. Because we sought the Lord our God, and he has given us peace on every side. One of the jobs of an Old Testament king was to build walls around their cities. And let's just get the pink elephant knocked off. I understand the political realms, and I've got nothing to say except it's obvious to me humanity cannot rule well. That's the smartest thing you've heard said about politics all week long, right there. We are led by people who don't know how to lead. On both sides. Okay, so I've made all the Republicans mad, Democrats mad, the ladies mad, and the gamers mad. Run into your mother's basement. So anyways, this is what Old Testament kings did. Now please hear this, okay? We got all that stuff out of our minds, I hope. Old Testament kings knew that their duty was that what they had was precious. And everything that they had was precious and valuable had to be protected because God had given it to them. If you're going to invest in your faith, and if God is going to invest in your life, you have to build boundaries. You don't build boundaries around something that's not valuable, but everything you have that's valuable, you build boundaries around. I grew up most of my childhood playing at the Levant dump. A dump. Easy to get into. Listen, children. Back in my day, get used to hearing this now, but back in my day, when you went to the dump, you put all your trash in a trailer, you went to the dump, and there was a cliff, and you dumped it all off the cliff. Now, we have hours, we have gates, we have bins, we have rules. and regulations. Because somewhere between my childhood and now, trash is valuable. One man's trash is the town's treasure. It's true. And it's not wrong. There is treasure in that trash. They can take that stuff and they can make something valuable out of it. But when I was young, we didn't know that. And so they never did put up many boundaries around the trash because it didn't carry any value. And I need you to hear this today. If you value your faith, it will be revealed in the boundaries you build around it. Well, listen to these words. Where there are kings, there are boundaries. Where there are boundaries, there is rest. Come on, saints. Now, you don't have to go back to the scripture, but let me read it again. The king said, let us build towns and fortify them with walls, towers, gates, and bars. The land is still ours because we sought the Lord our God. So in other words, when God gives you something, it is His wonderful mercy and grace and His character. However, after He does something for you, you have to build a boundary to protect it. Because God's character should always be evaluated when you build doctrine. I know a lot of people that are confused on what they believe, but if you'll find out the character of God, it will be easy to know what to believe. Well, God's grace and love is endless. No, that's not true for everybody. God's love is endless for people who obey Him. But for God's love to be endless for people who disobey Him would be contrary to His character. God has boundaries. I'm telling you today, if you're here today and you're not serving God and you say, well, I've got time, I've got plenty of opportunities. No, that's not actually in the character of God. Serve Him today. Can I get a better amen than that? But please, once God does something in your life and you begin to realize, as a father, I've got to build boundaries. Fathers, husbands, grandfathers, to be fathers. Please hear me. There is no reason that a five-year-old boy would think that he's a girl, except for a father did not speak up and say there are boundaries. I'm gonna be preaching. I'm gonna be preaching the same thing next week and the week after that and the week after that. Is no reason for the next generation to wonder if there are not boundaries in the genders, except the older generation is too busy playing video games. Preach now. The only thing worse than an absent father is a quiet one. Fathers, we've got to rise up and be boundary builders in our home and say, this is right and this is wrong. No, you are not a loser. No, you are not a defeated. No, you are not a nerd. No, you're not any of these things that the friends say or people at the school say. You are my son. You are my daughter. And we are children of the Most High God. We are royalty. We were created in His image. We are valuable, not to this world, but to our Maker. Grandfathers, speak up. You have no concept of how much the world has changed for your grandchildren. And they don't need you beating them up. And they don't need you to talk about the good old days. They need you to tell them, this is who you are. This is who God made you to be. We're not perfect, but God is. Here's your boundary. Mothers, please tell your babies what a mother gives in boundaries, and that's life. Moms, please don't let the culture tell you and coach you on motherhood and what it means to be a lady. Young, single ladies, please let me tell you something. Don't let this weird social media culture with Photoshop tell you. I feel a new wind today. Tell you what is cool and what's not cool. I'm going to tell you what's cool is a mom who's consistent, is a mom who's loving, is a mom who lives right, is a mom who cares, is a mom who's not a dingbat. Where'd that come from? I don't know where that came from, but that
Let's blame me. That God didn't say that, but God's not, that was so true though. I'm not running for nothing. And I'm not running from nothing. I'm just trying to help because I know you'll be gone for the next 6 days and I don't know what voices you're going to listen to. But how many of you agree? This world's gone a little bit tipsy. They're a little bit sideways, but I still want to stand my life on the Word of God. Let moms and dads and children and grandparents, let's be a God people, God-fearing Americans, God-fearing Christians. The absence of boundaries proves the absence of responsibility. If anybody can come into your home, if just any old boy can come up and take your daughter on a date, I really want to talk with you. And I'm not saying you should be a caveman or you know, but somehow, we got to know what our address is. There are house rules. And I just feel like talking to you about your house. I was just worshiping to God, and I said, Lord, I don't want to just preach. Let me say something that matters. And so the Lord just began to talk to me about your house this year. You need some house rules. There are some things that if it happens on public property, I cannot do if you come at me. But if you come at me on my land, I have a whole set of rights. And I'm not trying to be a caveman or to be ignorant. I'm not promoting that kind of false manhood. I'm just saying there are a set of rules on my house. And moms and dads, you set the rules in your house. We don't watch that stuff. Yeah, but Johnny's parents are crazy. Not in this house. Yeah, but the kids I go to church with, I don't care. That's why they're in church. That's why they're here. They need help. That's why we're here. We're all trying to move towards this. And I've got to respect your boundaries and you've got to respect mine. That's why the Bible over and over condemns drunkenness. Because when we become drunken, we cast off our boundaries. When we cast off restraint, we lose our rest. A city without walls, the Bible says, is torn down. What's a city? In a city you have worship. In a city you have learning. In a city you have healing. In a city you have water. In a city you have roads. In a city you have trash that's taken care of. But when the walls are broken down, the worship no longer is a priority. God has built Sunday as a boundary for the family, for the community. There's learning, there's discipleship, there's healing. Two of the greatest needs in average Mainers lives are one, bad health, and debt. I'm just praying, Lord, help me to minister. I don't want to preach what I like to hear, though I'm enjoying my preaching today for some reason. Don't get me wrong, I'm enjoying myself. But I think there's two greatest things. If you and I were able to get together and say, okay, we're going to take care of all of your financial pressure and your health problems, how many of you think your life would be better? Everybody raise their hands. Everybody raise their hands. You know what? I believe if you bring Christ into your life and if you'll learn what Christ wants to get done, guess what? He will help you with the boundaries to give you a better financial situation and to give you better health. I'll see my doctor this week, Tuesday, for a physical. I do it every year. And I will ask him again, like I'm asking him every time, how many people come in here? What percentage of the people that come to see you are in here because they're not right in their head? Now, I say that, I mean, how much does physical health get affected by wrong thinking? He said 80% of the people, 80% of the people, he said, that come see me, It's not a soul physical problem. Most of it's coming from an emotional thing that is creating all these other problems. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. And if we can learn to build boundaries in our lives, in a couple weeks, Greg and Denise Bazelli at Sunday School time at 9:30 are going to teach a focus on the family budget program, how families can get their budgeting back together. You need the last Sunday this month, you must get there and build a boundary around your finances. Build a boundary around your mind by filling your mind with the Word of God. The Bible said, I sent my word and healed their disease. I'm believing God to touch my father. They say he needs open heart surgery. They're just not sure how they can do it. There's some complications. You know what I believe? I believe he sent his word to heal Ardeen's disease. I believe he's healing Lois. I believe he's healing that baby. I believe he's healing you. But if I don't put a boundary up and say, well, I'm just going to believe everything I hear, then I will not receive the promises of God's covenant. But if I put my faith in the Word of God and build boundaries and say, I'm not letting doubt in, I'm not letting this world's consumerism in, I'm going to let the Word of God build my boundaries. Guess what? I will have a city that is built by God, and I'll have a life that glorifies His Son. I'm not saying that you're a sinner if you have financial pressure. Dear Lord, the whole church would be going to hell. I'm not saying you're a sinner if you have bad health. I'm just saying let's let God teach us how to build boundaries so that our homes can be different. You okay? We need some boundaries, definitions. What's right, what's wrong? We need some boundaries of deadlines. I'm going to do this by this time. And if I tell you I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it. You all already know this, but I'm just reminding you. The boundaries of truth. Every terrorist uses deception. When there is dishonesty in their home, there's a security breach. Responsibility. This is what I'm responsible for. Whenever in the Old Testament a city grew, God always required the standard to increase. Y'all okay? This is a challenging message. I'm really encouraged by the fact that you're with me, it seems like. I'm telling myself that right now. This is a challenging message. This isn't for the faint of heart. This isn't for consumerism Christianity. This is Bible. But I'm telling you, how many of you want 2019 to be stronger than you've ever experienced? How many want to be stronger? Look at me, look at me. I've got good news for you. You've got a weapon to build. You've got a weapon, and it's called a standard. The Spirit of the Lord is saying, I've already planned your future. I've already coordinated all the steps of my righteous people. The Lord says, if you will just merely obey my Spirit, be sensitive to what I'm doing, I will build standards and walls in your life. And you'll not know what they were for. But when the enemy comes in, he will be destroyed because of the standard that I've built around your home. You ought to know how to respond to that. Let's praise God right now. Come on, that's a promise for your house in 2019. I don't know what your security system is, but I just assume have the security system of heaven. Hallelujah. Do you hear that? You've just got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit in your life. And I'm telling you, in this world, the Holy Spirit will tell you to build some boundaries that other people say, you're radical, you're crazy. Well, if you think being healthy and consistent is radical and crazy, guilty as charged. Being moral and honest and upright is crazy, guilty as charged. If you think giving people another chance is crazy, doubly guilty as charged. You cannot take 2018 standards and expect God to move in 2019 blessings. Hello? Man, if I keep preaching, you're going to be totally depressed. You mean I have to do something? Yeah. But here's the good news. I can feel it. Here's the good news. You don't have to do it alone. There's a God in heaven. We just heard a message about it. God in heaven's going to help you to build a wall. There's the enemy wants to attack areas you don't even know, but God's going to help you build a wall and say, that didn't work. See, the fence isn't for the day. The fence is for the night. Hello? The freaks come out at night. You remember that? They do. The fence is not when you're in church. The fence is when you're on Friday night. This is what I grew up hearing preached. And I'm going to preach it again in this generation. There are some things in my life that I won't allow to happen. I won't be alone with a woman anywhere. Well, you don't think you can trust yourself? I don't plan on finding out. Plus, I know I'm incredibly handsome. I got her. I have to admit, she picked me. And if she could like me, anybody could like me. I don't plan on finding out. I'm just telling you, there are some consequences of having a weak moment that you have to live with. And I'm telling you, the God that I serve will forgive you. He'll redeem you. He'll restore you. But I don't want to repeat what I've been through. I want to go from glory to glory to glory. He that's faithful with little will be blessed with much. We need to restore some boundaries in our lives that are not, let's stop talking about what's right and what's wrong. What's wise? Because look at me, I'm done. Come on, Heather, musicians, please, please. Psalm 16, verse 6 says these words, "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance." Come on, let's read that together. Are you ready, church? Let's read it together right off the screen. "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I have a good inheritance." Oh man, I wish you believed the Bible you read. We're going to try that one more time and act like you got a little faith with it. Ready? "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. Yes, I have a good inheritance." I have a good inheritance of Christ, and I'm going to let God build the lines. Go back to 1 Peter. Go back to Titus. Go back to Titus. God's going to help you with some lines. Are you ready? Go back to Titus if you can. "And we are instructed to turn from godless living and sinful pleasures. We should live in this evil world with wisdom, righteousness, and devotion to God." There's a standard. Well, I don't know what to do. Read the Bible. Titus told you. This is a scriptural concept. Look at 1 Peter or 2 Peter, whatever's coming. "In view of all these blessings, make every effort to respond to God's promises." How many of our people that have got promises today? Come on, how many promised people do we have today? Watch what God says. Build a boundary. Supplement your faith with. Now, don't even bother talking to me, "Well, I don't want to be religious." Stop. I want to be biblical. You say, "I don't want to be religious." Well, still nothing wrong with being scriptural. And the Bible says, add to your faith something. Generous provision of moral excellence. Add to your moral excellence knowledge. Add to knowledge self-control. Add to self-control patient endurance. Add to patient endurance godliness. And to godliness brotherly affection. And to brotherly affection love for everyone. You see that? God is giving us boundaries to build. And I felt in my spirit to tell somebody today that if God can trust you with a greater boundary and a greater standard, He can trust you with a greater blessing. Let's go back to Psalm 16:11 verse again. Psalm 16:11, 16:6. "The lines have fallen to me in pleasant places. I have a good inheritance." Is there anybody here? This is a bit old-fashioned, and I don't apologize. How many here are ready for God to build, and you're ready to cooperate with God and say, "I'm going to build some greater standards in my life than I've ever had before. I'm going to be holier than I've ever been before. I want to know what it's like to be living this full life of miracles, signs, and wonders. And have a good marriage too. And my kids love me." Let me pray for you right now. Lord, this isn't maybe a message that we shout a whole lot about now, but I believe it's a truth that you give us that we can shout a whole lot more about later. I thank you for the covenant that you've given to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We have a covenant with you that you will not break. But God, we have a side of that covenant to keep, and that's to build protective barriers of decisions, yes and no's. We need some yeses in our lives. We need some no's in our lives. God, our culture's suffering. Our culture is in great grieving because of the lack of boundaries in our lives. But tonight, today, Lord, in the house of God, I believe you're seeing some people that are building some walls of standards, some yeses and no's, some right, some wrong, some responsibilities, some definitions, some accountability is coming back to somebody's marriage. Lord, I believe somebody's hearing this just in time. Lord, I pray for that person who's been compromising. God, I pray for them. Lord, you want what's best for them. You saw that woman at the well, and you broke through every barrier so that she could have a boundary to house your blessing. And everything that she wanted as a little girl, but she suffered because she had desire without boundaries. She had barriers. But God, today we want to have desire with boundaries so that we can have blessings. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would, I want to minister to you a little bit differently today. I don't think it's going to be hard. I'm not going to call you forward on it. But I wonder who's here that's realizing in the presence of God that you've got some barriers either from your past or from your family or culture, or you've got even some religious barriers that you just kind of close God out. And you want me to pray with you. Again, I'm not calling you forward. When I pray, you say, I want to be in that prayer. Just raise your hand and say, I want God to break those barriers out of my life right now. Come on, raise your hand up nice and high. Look at that. All over. From the very front all the way up into the balcony, and then probably some that didn't. Can I pray for you right now? And can we all pray this prayer together? We have an altar, but this whole church is an altar right now. In fact, I think the best way I want to pray is pray this way right now. Let's pray it together. Are you ready? Pray with me. Say, Dear Jesus, thank you so much for meeting me right where I'm at. My life, my decisions, things that have happened have created barriers. Thank you today that you overstepped the barrier and at my invitation are coming into my life to break the barrier of guilt, shame, regret, bitterness, anger, frustration, dead religion, blaming my family. I believe you've come to set the captive free. I receive the freeing nature of your Son, Jesus Christ. Whom the Son makes free is free indeed. I declare my independence from the past. I declare my freedom in Jesus' name. Now begin to praise God with me right now. It's just that easy. Come on, it's just that easy. Open your mouth, lift your hands, stand. I don't care what you do, but do something. And to say, God, I thank you. I don't have to be limited by my fears. I don't have to be limited by my anxiety. I don't have to be limited by my lust. I can be free and rejoice and laugh and be who God called me to be. You can do a whole lot better than that. Even if you're free, begin to praise Him. Right out loud. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And I want everybody to be free before they leave God's house today. Come on, people of God. Worship Him. Worship Him. Magnify Him. And let's just see what the Holy Ghost will do for somebody to have a better year than they ever imagined. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Go ahead, saints. Begin to praise Him. We're doing spiritual work in the kingdom of God today. We thank you for it, Lord. Freedom. I'm free. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Just a moment. Just a moment. Because He lives, I can face
tomorrow, because He lives.
Is anybody glad we serve a risen Savior?
Is gone, because I know He holds my future, and life is worth living just because He is.
Come on, saints, sing it again. Because He lives. Let's praise Him today. Let's praise the living Savior this morning. Oh, yes, He does. He whom the Son makes free is free today. In Jesus' mighty name, magnify the Lord, because I know.
Yes, I know He holds the future.
My life is worth the living just because He lives.
Come on, I dare you to praise Him like you believe it,
because He lives.
I will face tomorrow, because He lives.
Thank God for it today.
All my fears are gone.
Let's sing it one more time with voices raised. Thank God,
because He lives,
I can face tomorrow.
Thank God, thank God.
Because He lives,
all my fears
is gone.
I don't need them anymore. God. Somebody say this with me. I am free.
Jesus
just knew how to minister to that woman to reveal her issues. And then He just walked right in and began to help her. He dealt with her thirst. And then He dealt with her barrier. And then she began to build a boundary. God gave her life back. She could have ended her life, literally. Watch this, folks. Her life could have ended with shame, regret, avoiding everybody, not doing what God put her on the planet for. But when she wasn't even looking for Him, Jesus ran right into her life, and she ended her life with joy, doing what God called her to do. Come on, somebody. She ended her life totally different than what the enemy wanted. And if you think you're in God's house and the enemy doesn't have a will, then you're fooled. We got to build some boundaries around our homes. You know, I hear people say, I don't want to shove God down my kid's throat. Do you really believe the devil is playing fair? Do you think you can stand in your home and the devil hear you say, well, I don't want to drive religion down my kid's throat. Do you think the devil says, okay, guys, back off a little bit? No. In fact, hell is doing its best to drive hell down the throat of our next generation. And as for me and my house, we've set a boundary. We will serve the Lord. Hallelujah. Come on. Come on, let's keep it simple. Say that with me. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. My question for you before we leave this service today is, are you serving the Lord? Are you serving God? I'm going to ask that nobody leave the building right now, just out of respect of what God's doing in your neighbor. But man, the greatest question that I could ever ask you, the greatest answer that you could ever have, is to say yes. But if you can't say that with all integrity, yes, I am serving the Lord, then you, my friend, have an awesome opportunity to come to Christ. 2 months ago, Tim Kennedy. Tim, raise your hand. I don't know if people think real people that were. Raise your hand up there. You're tall. Raise your hand up there. Your beard's as long as your arm. You want to talk about eternity, whether it's real or not, talk to him. Had to say, but he led his brother to the Lord. I'm so glad that we gave an altar call and Tim gave his life to Christ. And when Tim gave his life to Christ, it opened the door for Tim to lead his brother to Christ. And because Tim led his brother to Christ, one day Tim and his brother will see each other beyond the gates of glory. I think we ought to thank God. Come on, you can do 100 times better than that. Come on, thank God for heaven, for his son Jesus. There's a man I met before service today. It was a real privilege. Tony Hatch introduced me. What's your first name again, sir? Bill was in the Hell's Angels. Was in the Hell's Angels. Doesn't mean anything to me what he did. All I knew is what he was in. But Jesus Christ overstepped the barrier. And Bill is no longer a Hell's Angels. And he's written a book, it's on Amazon, about what Christ has done in his life. Come on, somebody, would you begin to thank God? That's what Jesus can do for anybody and everybody. And I'm not saying it to be down, I'm just saying it to be real. 27-year-old boy, Carver. Had surgery. Doctors messed up, to be quite honest. And that boy ended, his life ended prematurely because of human error. It bothers me. But it just reminds me how thin the line is between now and eternity. Now, are you, now with all that in mind, are you 100% sure that if your life were to end today, that you'd be ready for heaven? If you're not, I'm telling you, you can walk out with 100% confidence. I'm right with God. If that's you today, I know some people are seated and some people are standing, and I'm fine with that, but would you please raise your hand? You say, when you pray that prayer, I want you to pray with me. And if you're seated, I can't see you, so I'm going to need you to help. Help me. But who's here today? You say, I'm not right with God. I want to serve God. But I don't want to leave this place unready for heaven. Is there anybody here? Lights are awful bright in my eyes. So you're going to have to really wave them for me to see. You're not even going to wait, buddy. Come here. Guess what? You don't have to. But I'll tell you why. You know why? Because you've been trying to do it yourself. Do you understand that? Am I telling you the truth that you've been trying to do it yourself?
Not yet.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to tell you, I tried to do it by myself a lot of years. And I kept falling and falling and falling. But guess what? It's not too late. Jesus Christ has overcome everything that's in your life that's kept you bound. And he's just overstepped all of it.
I know, I feel it.
You feel it. I can see it. Yeah. I can see it, man. Then guess what?
This man's weak.
You're weak.
I'm weak.
That's okay. Yeah, you're surrounded.
Every day, Satan's at me every day.
You better believe it. He says, Satan's at me after every day.
Same job.
You guys work together?
Yeah.
Wow.
We've been Bill.
And you work with Bill?
Good man right there.
He's a good man.
Yes.
He is now.
He is now.
He is a good man.
He is now. Look at this, Bill. Look at this, Tony. The days of being destroyed are over for you in the name of Jesus Christ. The days are over. Isn't that awesome? The days are over. Not one more day of just, they're giving you that. There you go. I want to pray with you. I think God's already done the work, so it's time to get the work done. Let's pray together. Well, I forget your first name. I'm so sorry.
Chad.
Let's pray together with Chad. I want Chad to hear it from hundreds of family members today. Let's pray together. Dear Jesus, thank you. In spite of all the barriers that I've built, that sin has built, they haven't stopped you. Thank you for not giving up on me. Please forgive me from all my sins. I'm ready for a new life. I'm ready for my own testimony. I'm ready to talk about my victories. I'm ready to talk about my new story. I'm ready to have some boundaries because I got a life worth living. I open my heart to you today. Be the master of my life. Be my compass. Be my guide. I will serve you with everything I've got. In Jesus' name. Amen. Chad, if you gave a life that was godless 50%, what if you give God 100%?
Yes.
Greater things than you could ever imagine. God can always outdo what hell will try to do. All right? Now I just sense in my heart, I have to tell you right now, your temptation is going to be to leave the church and keep looking back. Am I right about that?
Deal with it every day.
You deal with it every day.
Every day.
All right, now let's talk about that for a minute. You all just stay still. Let's deal with that right there. I appreciate the fact that you feel bad about the yesterdays. I do. I appreciate that. That means you've got a heart. But in God's economy and in God's mind, He didn't just file your past. He took it and He incinerated it. He burned it up. In God's mind, it doesn't exist anymore. He doesn't overlook it. Look at me. He's not overlooking the past. He's not saying, well, I forgive you. He's destroyed the past. That's what the cross of Christ was for. The Bible says all of our sins are totally removed from us. In other words, they're not in another file. They don't exist in any other place. Okay? So God's not holding you accountable for the past. That's why Jesus died brutally. When you look at the cross, do you think He died so brutally so you could have half hope, half forgiveness? He died completely so you could have 100% hope. Total deliverance is what that man behind you just said. I pray today in the name of Jesus, everything that's held you bound and made your life limited, be broken in Jesus' name. If you let me, it's got to go. It's got to go. All right. So let me tell you how that can happen. This is going to be easier than you've been imagining. Do you hate that past yet? Do you hate it? You're sick of dealing with it. You don't even
want
to deal with it. Do you despise it?
Yeah, I do.
That's part of the process. Nobody walks away from something they don't hate. If you hate fear and guilt and failure, which you ought to, then I got good news. All you got to do is hate it and then turn your back on it and say, but I love God. And guess what? God doesn't say, walk and hopefully catch up with me. God says, as soon as you turn toward Him, He gives you rest. He'll do the work. Nobody here is getting it done without the help of the Holy Ghost doing it. And I'm going to pray for you now, okay? But when I pray, I'm going to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. That's a powerful name. And that spiritual name is going to break every spiritual tie around your heart and mind. And you're going to walk out a different man, not only in spirit, but you're going to walk out a different man in your mind. In the name of Jesus, I lay hands on Chad, and I believe that everything that has captured him, ensnared him, is absolutely broken in the name of Jesus Christ. And all those memories and all of that feeling is broken now in the name of Jesus. There's nothing to go back to, but there's everything to live forward. He whom the Son makes free is free indeed. I declare today's your day of freedom, Chad, and you'll never be the same. In Jesus' mighty name, let the church shout a good amen and thank God for what he's doing in Chad's life right now. In Jesus' name. You're a new man. And Matt Ward and these guys had nothing to do with it. Jesus Christ has done it. Now, are you ready to go forward? Let's draw a line. Let's draw a line. Go ahead, just draw a line. Draw a line in the sand right there in the rug. Now, I want you to step over that line. And you ain't going back nowhere, all right? All right? I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you. Let's praise God. Let's praise God. Help him. Praise the Lord. Come on. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. It'll be your son next. It'll be your family never next. Come on. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to the Lamb. Glory to the Lamb of God. I love you. I'll see you tonight. 5:00. God bless you. Have a wonderful afternoon. Go ahead. The living just.